Is this going to make me money or am I going to have somewhere to live? Sometimes these are not going in the same direction. You know, you have to kind of decide, like, am I going at this from the investment perspective, and that's the most important piece, or is the most important piece housing stability for my family, whatever.
Welcome to the Northwest Real Estate Roundup, the podcast where real estate meets reality. I'm your host, Steve Tytler, coming to you with 4 decades of experience in the trenches of real estate and the mortgage business. Today, we're diving deep into the tools, tips, and trends that make the industry tick. Join us as we unpack the secrets to success in real estate, share expert advice, and spotlight the innovators who are shaping our industry. Let's get started. Welcome to the Northwest Real Estate Roundup. Today's guest is Ashley Bolden, a very great real estate agent. Ashley, first of all, tell us, what geographic area do you cover with your real estate business?
So mostly Snohomish County. I've focused a lot in the Everett area. But given that, you know, it's like I go where clients need me. So I have clients that have purchased down in Gig Harbor. I have clients like Sudden Valley, so Bellingham area. So yeah, pretty much whole Puget Sound.
We're sitting here in March 2024. What are you seeing in your real estate area right now? How's the housing market looking?
You know what? It really depends on who you are. I mean, I think if you're a buyer and you're looking at entry level, like you just want to buy like a $500,000, $600,000 home, I think the market can be challenging. I mean, I think there's multiple offers, which I think surprises people a little bit given the way that interest rates are right now. So yeah, I mean, still like a lot of demand.
Yeah, a lot of people are surprised. I'm in the mortgage business. We have a lot of people who want to buy houses. The biggest problem is they can't find houses to buy.
Yeah, inventory. Yeah.
Do you see that improving at all?
No. If I could just be honest, I mean, you know, I don't want to give you like a one word answer, but I think given the way that we've been developing housing stock over the last 20 years or whatever, I don't really see there being like any like silver boat or anything coming out of left field here that's like, oh man, we're now just going to put like 200,000 houses in the market or whatever. Like, I don't think that's coming anytime soon, no.
Yeah, right. A lot of people do not realize that. It's not just that home sellers are quote unquote locked into low interest rates, right, and they don't want to move. That's part of the problem. But the other problem is for the last, like you say, 10 years or so, there's been a gross undersupply of new construction coming online.
Yeah. And it's probably, yeah, I don't even know. It might even be further back than that. It probably starts like back in 08. You know, like if you go back to like that housing crash that happened like almost 20 years ago.
Right. Because
there was a lot of construction then.
Yeah.
And then all right. Of a sudden they were just kind of like, oh, nope, we're not building anything.
Scared people out of the business.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's a big issue. And I don't really see, I mean, there's development happening, but you know, specifically in Everett, I mean, there's a lot of like apartment buildings, but that's not purchase stock, you know, and there's a lot of people right. That really want, you know, I think they imagine like a single family house with a nice yard. They're really not building that, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a problem. So what kind of advice do you have for home buyers in this market right now? It's a tough market.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about like how you would go about that. And I think they really need to think about like what their overall housing plan is, right? Like, I think that they need to look at like, how does making a purchase right now, or maybe in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years align with my plan for housing? And, you know, I mean, I think that that's really the perspective they have to use. And I think once they've made a decision about that alignment, then I think they need to get pre-approved and be ready to move on things because the inventory is still moving very quickly. So it's not really like a situation where you can, you know, wait like 3 weeks or you've got like tons of time. It's like, no, it's like really like stuff comes on the market. And because it's so limited, you know, you may miss an opportunity on something that you really like that's not going to come up again.
Right. And that's a problem we see. I'm in the mortgage business and we're constantly encouraging clients to get pre-approved, not pre-qualified. And I want to explain, some people get confused by those two terms. As you know, I'm sure,
Pre-qualification, just a simple, quick phone call. How much do you make? What's your credit? Okay, you can probably get this much, right? Doesn't really mean anything. Pre-approval means you actually go through the application process. You turn in the credit, the income. Everything's verified and underwritten by an underwriter, and you get a written loan approval. That makes a much stronger borrower. But like you said, human nature being what it is, people tend to procrastinate and many times say, well, we're just looking. And then the next week, oh, we found a house over the weekend. We need to make an offer. So,
it's really, I think that for buyers, I think that's a really tough position to be in. Like to find out, like, you know, Thursday or Friday, the house you wanted came on the market and you're not ready. Like, yeah, I think really making that decision to be ready. And then I think really like taking the time to develop a housing plan, because maybe right now the right move is to just buy a condo, have something. Yeah. Right. You know, because I've really been kind of focused on like housing stability. Like, where are you going to live when you are 60? You know, I mean, right. I know that like right now, you know, maybe someone's like in their 30s and they're thinking, oh, OK, well, I want this big house or whatever. It's like, you know, maybe you may not want that when you're 60 and you need to think about like where you're going to live. Or maybe they're thinking about renting. I mean, you don't want to be renting. I've seen that too many times. You don't want to be renting at like 65 and then find out that the person selling the property, I mean, it really messes up, you know, like the amount, your cost of living at that point.
Right. And I think a lot of home buyers need to think long term. I think these flipper TV shows kind of give people the wrong idea that you can buy a house today and sell it for a profit in a year or two. And you and I know that in most markets, that doesn't work. It works sometimes, but not all the time. So I tell clients, you really shouldn't buy a house unless you plan to live in it for 7 to 10 years. And if your plan is long term, you don't need to time the market because it will work out over time. It's always a good time to buy if you're going to be there 10 years or more.
Well, and I think that what you're hitting on is really important. I think it's a little bit of a confusion of priorities, right? Like, is this going to make me money or am I going to have somewhere to live? Sometimes these are not going in the same direction. You know, you have to kind of decide, like, am I going at this from the investment perspective? And that's the most important piece. Or is the most important piece housing stability for my family, whatever. And I think there's a lot of noise around that. Exactly like you're saying, people think they're going to like flip their primary residence into like some windfall or something like that. It's like, even if that did happen, you still need a roof over your head. Yeah, it's great. Like, hey, maybe you made some money, maybe your house is worth more, but you still have to live somewhere.
Right. Yeah, it's a challenge. Now, I know you were a very successful agent. So what do you think is in your mindset that helps you be successful? Because let's face it, not every agent is successful right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I think it really comes down to is just abundance. That's it, right? Like the reality is like there are so many transactions happening in the market right now, you know? And the thing is even if I could do them all, which I can't, it's like, it's unlimited from that perspective. Right. Like, you know, I think sometimes there's like a little bit of people get into like scarcity, like, oh, this is the only thing or the only, you know, but it's not like that. It's like complete abundance. I mean, there are more transactions that are going to happen. There are more buyers and sellers than I could ever help just by myself, you know, so that's where it is.
And that's great because a lot of people have that scarcity mentality saying, well, there's only so many deals out there and all the good agents like Ashley are getting them. So there's nothing left for me.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's. Yeah. Abundance.
Right. So most successful agents I know have some kind of a daily or weekly strategy plan or success plan they follow. What is your plan or what is your system?
Yeah, the biggest thing. So what I do is I make sure I time block prospecting for sure. So I need to always be looking for business. And I have a weekly plan around like following up because, I mean, you know, we don't really have like one call closes. You're not going to like call a client one time and get anything done, right? So, you know, everything kind of comes down to reaching out to that client, seeing what help they need and helping them with their process and moving them, you know, down the road to wherever they want to go. Like maybe they buy something, maybe they don't buy something, but, you know, helping them along the way and figuring out where they're going to go. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's overall, I do have weekly goals on like the number of contacts that I make. So those things I think are pretty big. And then obviously there's all the kind of like background lifestyle stuff, right? So working out, drinking lots of water, you know, like all those items.
I might want to hear. Right. So now, as far as calls, are you very locked in and block out a certain number of hours per day to make your calls?
I do. I've been doing a lot of like circle dialing and stuff like that. So I usually get on the phone in the evening. I've had pretty good luck with that. People they're getting off work, so like kind of like between like 4 and 8. So it might not be the whole entire time, but somewhere in that window is when I'll sit down and make phone calls and reach out to people.
And you're consistent about it every week?
Every day.
Same calling at the same time?
Every day.
Yeah. See, that's what I find. With a lot of people, time management is the key, and locking in that call time is very, very important.
Yeah, it's critical. I mean, I think for real estate, I mean, you really have to. You have to be prospecting and constantly looking for opportunities.
So what kind of lead generating strategies are you using right now?
So I'm mostly working with circle dialing. I have a little bit of like online leads. Right now, I've been in real estate long enough now that I do have some referrals. So reaching out to clients, having conversations with them and stuff like that will generate referrals. So it's mostly those three items. I do open houses, but I will tell you that I really, I think people use open houses a lot of different ways. I only really use open houses for people to see my sign. Yeah,
Oh,
because
that's
here's the deal.
marketing. That's
Yeah,
marketing.
because here's the thing, like somebody has to like see you or hear from you like 12 times before they even know who you are. So if you're not, trying to get yourself out there in an area so that people are like, oh, I know who Ashley is. Like, even if you call them on the phone, they won't connect the dots.
Do you do any kind of farming activity in specific neighborhoods?
I do have some farms. So I do some postcards and like handwritten notes. Yeah, so in Everett.
And do you work your database of past clients?
I do work them.
About how often do you stay in contact with them, if you don't mind
Often.
saying?
So probably all the people that I've worked with will hear from me. Gosh, I wish I had this like down to like a number, but they probably hear from me like 5 to 6 times a year.
Well, that's good. That's good.
So I'll contact them by phone or by text and see how things are going. If I sold them a house, how things are going with their house. If they sold something and moved away, just see how the relocation's been.
Yeah, a lot of people forget that the client database of past clients is a great source of business if you work it properly.
And I think also contacting another kind of place, an area to work is just with your sphere, right? So going out with your friends, having coffee with them, having coffee with any of like your vendors and stuff like that, like those types of meetings, because then you're around people and then people can, perhaps send a referral your way or whatever. You don't want them to forget you.
Right. The more people you talk to, the more chances you have of running into somebody who's buying or selling a house. So, where do most of your leads come from?
Right now it's probably a mix of online leads and then referral. I ran the numbers on it coming into this year, and I think it was like about 50-50.
Okay, well, that's good. So, do you have good luck with online leads? Because I know a lot of people, including myself, have tried on leads and they've been pretty low quality leads, quite honestly, in my experience. What do you find?
You know what? I think it a little bit depends on how the lead was generated. This is going to sound a little bit weird and kind of in the weeds a little bit, but I just find that the lead conversion is a little bit different if the introduction is from like a company like Zillow or Realtor or like Redfin, versus, there's some companies that do, I'm not sure exactly how they do it. I think they maybe make like a little ad or something like that where they capture the person's information. And I think that those ones are harder to convert because I don't know. I'm not exactly sure why, but I think sometimes those people are maybe, it could just be that they're like further out in the funnel. Like if you understand like kind of like funnel theory, like it
Right.
could just be that they're, 5 years out, but they happen to hit like this page where they saw a house and they were like, this is cool, and it just may be that to convert that person, it's going to take like 3 years of contacts.
Right. Now let's look at the seller side for a minute. Mm-hmm. What tips do you have for sellers who want to put their house on the market right now?
Gosh, I mean, I think they should be very aware of what the market conditions are. So definitely talking with their real estate agent, definitely having a conversation about what interest rates are doing, and definitely having a conversation about how that impacts buyer demand, because mm-hmm. our market is like so rate sensitive. I mean, like, I don't know what you experience, but I think it goes like up or down just a teeny bit. And either the buyer's like, yes, let's buy, or they're like, no, I won't buy anything.
There's a lot of psychology in it because, as you know, mortgage rates peaked last October around 8%. And now, you know, we get on to 7 and the 6s, people get excited. Whereas a year ago, they'd go, oh, 6 is terrible. So it's all psychological. We're all hoping rates will come down. But the problem is they're very unpredictable.
They are so, yeah.
I have been in the mortgage business for over 32 years. And I remember years ago reading a study where they looked at what the quote unquote mortgage experts had predicted rates would do. Mm-hmm. And then they went back and looked at what actually happened. And believe it or not, they were wrong 75% of the time. Yeah, so they
I'm
were wrong worse than a coin flip. So even somebody who's like me, who's in the business, I'm supposed to know what rates are going to do. I have no idea. I really don't.
It's almost impossible to know. And the other thing that's difficult about it is it's like, you know, you don't really know what your rate is until you lock it. You know, so it's like, it's almost like, you know, it's like almost like, oh, I'm going to try to predict to like the day 6 weeks from now what it's going to impossible. There's just no way to really know. I mean, you could get a range maybe.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing is a lot of people, if they're not in the business, do not realize that mortgage rates change on a day to day basis and sometimes multiple times a day. People have
idea. Exactly. Yes. No, people have no clue and it's tough. So, I mean, I think from a seller's perspective, I think that the reason I brought up the rate is because I think there's still this tendency to kind of like try to like price their house for the moon or whatever. And I think they just need to be a little bit careful there, because if it's a bad rate day or a bad rate week when your house comes on the market, you might be for the rate, you might be overpriced 20K, 50K, you know, and if the rate's doing well, you might be multiple offers. Right. So I think that that's kind of where you need to like, it would be good to just exercise some caution around it.
Now, do you find sellers willing to buy the rate down for the buyer, pay 1, 2, 3 points to get a lower rate, make the house more affordable for the buyer?
It's so mixed. Yes and no. I've had some sellers that are like, I will not pay one dime. And I've had some that are like, I really want to sell my house. Like, let's make this happen. So I think it kind of comes down to, you know, how motivated the person is. And if they're ready to go to the next place. I mean, I think that's it.
Yeah, we've had experience in trying to convince people that, you know, the seller paying a couple of points is going to get them a better price than just holding firm at market. But people don't seem to like to do that. So, you know, you do what you can do to get the best deal.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, I mean, I think with that being said, there are people that are selling homes that are motivated that do, you know, they're okay with doing a credit. And then there are some where, yeah, they just will not budge.
Well, speaking of that, what do you see as the biggest mistakes buyers and sellers are making in today's market?
I think buyers are, I think we've kind of already hit on it. I think that they're kind of like a little bit confused about, isn't a house supposed to be a good investment versus I need a place to live versus kind of paying rent? Like, I feel like the discourse around that is a bit noisy for them. And so I think they're feeling like, well, I can't buy a house unless it's going to make me money.
Ah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? They're like, oh, if this is not making me money, then it's not a good investment. And then so I shouldn't buy it. But I don't know that that's necessarily what should be the goal for most buyers.
So they look at the house as a piggy bank, huh? So that's interesting. Do you find a difference in age group? Now, as you can tell, I'm old. In my generation, I think people had houses primarily to live in. Right. But I'm thinking the younger generation who have seen all these house flipping shows on TV for years, maybe looking at it more as a cash investment, like a stock market investment. Do you see a difference between generations?
I'm not sure if it's a generational difference, but I do think that there is kind of this tendency for it to be like, oh, how can I house hack this? How can I kind of like use this house as an investment or a money maker for me? And I don't necessarily think that that should necessarily be their goal. Like, I think for some people, maybe it is straight up their goal. They're like, hey, I want to get like six duplexes. Okay, then they should come up with a plan. But I think for the person that's just like, I want to buy a house, I'm gonna buy my first place or whatever, I think that whether or not they make money on it is less of a concern to me.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said earlier, I think most people shouldn't buy a house unless they plan to live in it at least 7 to 10 years. Because if you can sell it in 3 years, make a profit, great, but chances are you can't. So let's plan on the long term and go with that. That's what I think.
I think that that's what it is. I think that's the biggest mistake. It's just confusion. Like, I think that they just need to sit with themselves and get right around it. Like, just sort of like look at everything and say, okay, this is what makes sense for me. If I'm gonna go the investment route, then let's use that. If instead I just want a place to live, to call my own, I want a place where, hey, I know basically what the monthly payment's gonna be, right? Maybe property tax or homeowners insurance might go up a little bit here and there, but you basically know what your monthly payment's going to be for 30 years locked in. You know what? Like, that's great. You don't have to do anything advanced with that.
Great. Now let's flip it to the other side of the fence. And do you see sellers making mistakes in this market?
I think the things that I've seen sellers making mistakes on are around like how they prepare their home for market. So, and it's not many. But I think that people are thinking they can still just kind of like let their agent take a cell phone photo and like put it on. I don't know. I mean, the market is good, okay? But the cell phone pictures are a little bit concerning to me, especially when it's like you're trying to sell. Some of these people are selling like a $1 million asset with cell phone photos. Like, I don't know. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I also think that, not staging the property is a mistake. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a house with a buyer and they're like, I cannot figure out this living room, and it just makes a huge difference. Like, to me, it seems like a very small investment. You put $3,000 or $5,000 into staging to get 1 million out. Like, it's a no-brainer. So,
What would you say is the average rate of return on staging? Have you ever figured that out?
You know what? So I have done a back of the napkin calculation. So in my past life, I was a scientist. So I did like kind of like I would not say that it is the most rigorous science, okay? But I had a client that was curious about it, so I just went and I pulled, the recently sold properties and looked at ones that were staged and not, and it was like about 8% difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
So
mean that's a lot, 8%.
More than pays for itself than many times over, probably, right?
And I think it's, and you know, I think it's, there's two factors, right? Like, there's the return on investment there, right? Just the money. And then there's also like the speed in which it will sell,
Exactly.
because nobody really calculates the money lost if you have to sit on the market for 6 months. Like,
Right.
all your plans and your life have now been held up for 6 months when you could have sold it maybe in 2 weeks. And, I don't know what that calculation is. It's different for every person, right? But, you can't get that time back. Whatever your time in your life is worth, that 6 months is now gone.
Right.
No dollar amount.
I consider the first 2 weeks on the market prime time. That's your best time to sell, in my opinion. And whenever I've sold a house, I always try to price it low. I want it gone in the first 2 weeks. I don't want to hang in there and hope and pray I get a high price. It probably is not coming my way.
So I think that those are like, I mean, I think that's one, two, three for sellers. Like, getting pricing that's like sensitive to the market conditions, making sure you get professional photography done, and staging.
Okay, great. Now, Ashley, as I mentioned, you're a very successful agent. So what would you say is your superpower or unique selling proposition that makes you set you apart from the other agents out there?
I'm like pretty active. Like, I love calling and talking to people about real estate and cold calling. I know that a lot of agents don't do that. I really actually like understand the analytical side. So I do really well with investors actually. Like, we can look at properties and really make sense of them. I do like I do really enjoy working with people that want to buy their house, want to buy a place. It's pretty fun. Just someone who's like, they're looking for something for themselves. Pretty fun. Negotiating. I don't know,
Is there anything you can think of I have not asked you about today that you'd like to mention?
You know what? I don't think so. I think we're like squared away.
Okay, let me close with this then. This far in your real estate career, what is there one achievement or moment that you're really proud of, that you're most proud of?
You know what? I helped somebody buy a place, and it wasn't even like the most expensive house. They were buying like a manufactured home. And they just really needed help getting their new place. And I just thought it was just like such a good experience. And I was really proud of the way that that ended up going, for them. And so, yeah,
Well,
I'm
that's
pretty
great.
grateful for that.
That's a great thing about the real estate business. You can really help people in a time that's an exciting and scary
It's
time of their
scary. It's
life.
very, it's vulnerable, right? Like, I don't know where I'm gonna go. I need help with this. So yeah, I'm really proud of that.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us on the podcast today. Now, before we go, tell everyone how can they get in touch with the great Ashley Bolden?
So I am on Facebook and Instagram, Ashley Bolden Homes. You can find me there. I'm also on YouTube. It's just Ashley Bolden.
And your phone number, go ahead and say your phone
Oh yeah,
number.
720-276-5769. Drop me a line.
Well, that's great. Thanks a lot, Ashley. And I'm Steve Teitler of
Thanks.
Best Mortgage. If you have any friends, family, neighbors, coworkers who are thinking about buying, selling real estate, give us a call and we'll give them honest advice you can trust. So stay tuned next time. We'll see you on the Northwest Real Estate Roundup.
Thank you for joining us on today's journey through the dynamic world of real estate and mortgages. I'm your host, Steve Teitler, and this has been the Northwest Real Estate Roundup. Don't forget to subscribe for more expert advice, tips, and stories that empower you as a real estate professional. If you have questions or topics you want covered, drop us a line at our website. Until we meet again, here's to your success.